Okay, so what we're gonna do is just do an introduction, and then I'll start coming in.
We're doing tell me the story. Wait, we're gonna tell me the stories, right?
Yeah, 277.
Yeah.
Lydia's leading the procession.
Is she?
She's bringing in the light.
Okay. Are you ready for me?
Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to this Palm Sunday celebration. We'll start with visitors. We always love to see our visitors. If there's a visitor here, please raise your hand so those around you can make you welcome.
Roberta.
Welcome. Okay. Call your attention to the notices in the bulletin. This is the final Sunday for you to put your heifer donation things at the back of the church. It's also in the bulletin. This is the final Sunday in which you can buy a Easter lily for next week's service. So anybody would like to buy Easter lilies in memory of or in honor of anybody, please do that today. Remind you to fill out the red notebook and pass it across. If you're a visitor, please put in your address so we have a way of reaching you, contacting you. Then for the Holy Week, Wednesday will be our last Lenten luncheon. That's at 12 o'clock. Friday at 6 p.m. will be our Good Friday service. And you're asked to bring a rock for that service. It'll be a part of the service. The Easter sunrise service will be held in this church at 7 a.m., followed by breakfast, followed by, of course, by Sunday school, and then our worship service at 11, and the worship service will all end with our Easter cantata. I I believe that is all the announcements we need to make.
I want to say something, Doc. Okay. Wait, don't go far. I need some readers for the Good Friday service. So if you plan to be here, let me know, and I'll give you an assignment after worship this morning.
How many do you need?
I think 6.
Okay, well, keep the doors closed until you get them. Okay. You turn in your bulletin to the opening words.
We can stand.
You let him sit down?
No,
I
can stand.
Okay. She says you can sit down or stand up. Take your choice. It's in your bulletin, so follow it. We come to prepare for the holiest of weeks.
We will journey through praise with joy on our lips. We will travel through betrayal and death, all the while cradling hope deep in our hearts.
Jesus leads us through this week, and we will follow, for we long for his peace. He is the word who sustains us.
We wave palm branches in anticipation. We lay our love before him to cushion his walk.
Setting aside.
Where are we?
Setting aside.
Oh. Setting aside all power, glory, and might, he comes, modeling humility and obedience for us all.
Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is the one who brings us the kingdom of God.
You may be seated. One more announcement that I forgot. Fill out your blue slips for concerns or praises. The ushers will pick those up on the hymn before the sermon.
Now, if you would, turn in your bulletin to the prayer of confession. I'll read the light-colored print. Lord Jesus Christ, it seems such a distance from this mountain resort community to that day when you entered Jerusalem with the shouts of the crowd ringing in your ears. You were welcomed as a longed-for king, yet you rode on a lowly donkey. You were greeted with cheers and acclamations, which so soon turned to jeers and condemnation. From this side of the resurrection, we confidently believe that we could never have been part of the jeering crowd. But would we, if we had been there? Lord Jesus Christ, when our words and actions reflect a reluctance to confess you before people, when we fear that humbling ourselves would be seen by others as weakness, forgive us. When we find ourselves hurrying over the events of this week because we look forward to Easter egg hunts and a time to enjoy a holiday and have fun, forgive us. Lord Jesus Christ, fix your mind in us. Empty us of all that hinders us from following you. Help us to humbly live this week in full view of the enormity of your sacrifice. Amen. And normally you hear words of assurance from the pastor that you are forgiven. But in the spirit of this week, when Jesus is yet to die and shed his blood on that cross and be resurrected again, you have silence.
Please turn in your hymnals to page 279, filled with excitement.
We'd like to invite the children to come to hear a story with Miss Jane.
Now just please come forward for the honor. My gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this Palm Sunday, remembering Christ the King, riding into Jerusalem on the donkey. Let us ever be aware that his real message was one of service. If we are to serve him, we must serve each other. So we ask your blessings on the tithes and offerings, and we use it for the work of the church and to bring glory to your kingdom. Jesus' sake.
You may be seated. We have some prayer concerns this morning. The first one is from Phyllis, who is asking you to pray for Connie Collins' health. So we come together now on behalf of Connie Collins. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Marilyn Herrig is asking for prayers for Remington Oxford. He's an infant who is struggling, who's been in ICU for 35 days in Nebraska. Please pray for Rem and his family. So for Remington, little child in ICU. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Chuck is asking you to continue to pray for Jessica, his niece. The seizures of unknown origins continue. So for Jessica, we pray. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Dolan has a prayer need for, Myrna? Is that how I say the name? Okay, Myrna is in the hospital. She's his sister. She has high white blood count, low blood pressure, and they don't have a diagnosis yet. So Myrna, so for her we now pray, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. All right, let us go to God in prayer. Holy God, these we name before you, and there are several others in our church who have been dealing with some very challenging illnesses, and we bring them all before you now, and we ask for your healing mercy. We ask for the comfort of the Holy Spirit. We ask for the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in these unknown diagnoses, and guide the doctors and all the testing that's being done so that a way can be found for these who suffer. God, we also pray for our church in transition as we turn toward anticipation of our new pastor. And Lord, we just ask for your mercy on us as we prepare for the changes before us. Lord, we also come to you on behalf of the world. Oh my goodness, it's just so messed up from east to west, from north to south. People are hurting. People are suffering because of decisions that leaders are making. So, Lord, you told us to pray for the leaders and all those in authority over us. So, God, we pray for them. We come to you earnestly on their behalf now and ask for wisdom. We ask for miracles. We ask for your interruption of plans that are made that aren't in the best interests of the people that we know you love. And now, God, we're going to think about our neighbors. You told us to love our neighbors, and this morning we're surrounded by neighbors, our neighbors in this worship space. And we're going to pray for those around us, Lord. We also pray for the neighbors on whose streets we live. Even those neighbors that get on our last nerve. Lord, we lift up to you our families. We lift up to you our friends whom we love. And God, I think we all need to be reminded to pray for ourselves. So in this piece of time, each of you, please pray for yourself. And now for those unspoken needs of our own hearts, we're going to rest in your presence, God. We're going to rest in your loving presence as you surround us, as you lean eagerly toward us to listen to us. How happy you are to hear from us today. And so now we're going to let go of the concerns that weigh us down, and we're simply going to be with you as together we pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. What did Jesus say? When we read the story of Palm Sunday in the scriptures, we hear what the crowd said. Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna! Yay, yay, yippee, yay. But are we listening to what Jesus said? So listen today from the account of Palm Sunday that's found in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I'm reading from Luke. Luke chapter 19. And this takes up right after Jesus had sent the disciples into the town to bring back, now, whichever account you read, one account it's a donkey, another account it's a colt, another account it's a donkey and a colt. So he's either riding one or two at the same time. You figure it out. And so what has happened just now is they brought it, the donkey or the colt, to Jesus, and they threw their cloaks on the colt, and they put Jesus on it. As he now that's the first miracle. Any of y'all have a farm background? And you know, if you climb up on a colt that's not been broken yet, it's going to be a frisky ride, right? So already we have a miracle happening as Jesus is entering Jerusalem. As he went along, people spread their cloaks on the road, and he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives. And the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles that they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, "Teacher, rebuke your disciples." And Jesus said, "I tell you, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out." As he approached Jerusalem and saw the city, he wept. Our second account of Jesus weeping. As he approached Jerusalem and he saw the city, he wept over it, and he said, "If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace. If you, even you, had only known this day what would bring you peace." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You see, like us, they were looking for peace on earth right now. They wanted Jesus to be the one to overthrow Rome. They wanted Jesus to sit on that throne. They wanted Jesus to be the maker of peace, to lift the yoke of occupation by a foreign alien religion and government. And Jesus said, "If you had only known on this day what would bring you peace." As he wept over Jerusalem, Jesus was weeping over us, because we seek after the things that we think will bring us peace. So listen today to what would bring us peace. Is anyone listening to Jesus? The crowds in Matthew and John's accounts of Palm Sunday shout, "Hosanna! Hosanna to the Son of David." In today's reading we just read, they're shouting, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." Palm Sunday is the crowd's day. They're out of control. They're giving voice to their desires and what they want. Palm Sunday is the disciples' day, as they are right there in there with the crowd, waving those palms and throwing the cloaks out and saying, "Blessed is the King who comes." Palm Sunday is not Jesus' day. No one was listening to what Jesus said. On Palm Sunday, Jesus tried to say something which no one was listening to. First of all, he didn't enter the city on the big snorting white stallion coming in with power and victory to claim that throne. His robe was dragging and his feet were dragging in the dirt as he rode a donkey into town. Who heard the statement he was making? Our text says that Jesus saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you only would know what'll really bring you peace. The crowd had its own peace agenda. This was the same crowd which in 5 short days are going to go from saying, "Hosanna, welcome to the King," to crucify him with all the malice and meanness of dark hearts. Maybe this one will be something, when the crowds were thinking about Jesus being the Messiah, they say, maybe this one will do something about taxes and get the Romans off our backs. We only half believe it. We've heard it so many times before. See, there had been many messiahs claiming to be the Messiah. Oh, what the heck? What do we have to lose? Let's follow this one, too. So grab a branch, wave it around, and shout, "Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord." That was this crowd. And the disciples? Disciples who in 5 short days would turn tail and run. They would desert him and hide. The disciples also had an agenda. You can just see them prancing in front of Jesus. "We're number one. We're number one. Disciples of Jesus, we're number one." As they drooled and lusted for those 2 seats on either side of Jesus. Those were the disciples. But Jesus, what is he saying on Palm Sunday? Amid all the hullabaloo and the hosannas, we often forget that Jesus spoke too. And when he drew near and saw the city, he wept. What happens on Palm Sunday if we listen to Jesus for a change instead of to the crowds, Jesus instead of the disciples? It's not an empty question. We actually are celebrating our Lord entering Jerusalem. Without pushing the metaphor too far, we're also celebrating the entering of our Lord into our own hearts. I think it's fair to say that this is an important day for all of us. We're trying our best with our own palm procession and our songs and bells of worshiping the King and singing Hosanna. Even though in the midst of celebrating disciples and shouting crowds, Jesus weeps. People line the streets crying Hosanna. Deliver us, save us, give us peace in our time. And Jesus said, if you only knew what is needed for peace. I suppose the first century search for peace, for tranquility, for prosperity, for comfort and security was much like our own. Some back then depended on a stable government with just laws that Rome offered, peace and stability, but at a great cost. When we listen to candidates for public office, stability, security, prosperity, and comfort is what we like to hear. We're not so different from those ancient crowds. Television evangelism booms. Bookstores are flooded with religious and psychological self-help books. We are not so different from the disciples, wanting what we want now. If we compare the first century search for peace to our own, the similarities are almost frightening. They had mystery cults with secret initiation rites and secret knowledge. They had groups that could put our faith healers and snake handlers to shame. And zealots as right-wing as neo-Nazis, as nationalistic as ISIS terrorists. All these groups had an answer to the question, do you want peace? Follow us. We'll give you peace. Mail in a contribution to Reverend Rich Guy. Get your consciousness raised or blow your enemies to hell. And Jesus wept. What did he see that his disciples did not? What did Jesus see that the shouting crowds did not? He knew his face was sealed when he entered the gates of Jerusalem, adoring crowds or no crowds. He knew the finely tuned justice of Rome was out to get him, and they would go amazingly blind at critical moments. He knew the biblical fundamentalists would seek to kill him. He knew the religious leaders would seek to kill him. He knew the laws of his country would not protect him. And Jesus wept. Jesus wept, yet he still spoke of peace. What did he see that you and I don't see? What does he want us to hear or see that we don't comprehend in this chaotic scene of the masses yelling Hosanna? We know now that his peace has nothing to do with national security. It has nothing to do with which flag you live under. It has nothing to do with the university you went to or the job that you had. It has nothing to do with how much is in your bank account. We know that his peace had nothing to do with how happy we are. The day he spoke of peace was the beginning of a week which ended with a Last Supper, a public humiliation, death on a cross. How morbid for Palm Sunday. Yet Jesus on this day spoke of peace. The disciples of this day wanted to hear anything else except the kind of peace that Jesus meant. For the peace of Jesus Christ would come from doing the will of God. The peace of Jesus Christ comes from doing the will of God, which for Jesus was following to the cross. And the disciples didn't want to hear it. Prosperity, peace, security, comfort was something to be gained from a ruler on earth. Those ancient people sought it in the same way that we do. Though Jesus told them over and over that he must go to Jerusalem, that he must suffer, and that he would die, they never heard it. All the securities they hopefully clung to as they celebrated in triumph on that Palm Sunday kept them from hearing Jesus. I don't know if we are any further along than the disciples in our ability to hear Jesus this day, but are we looking for something now that blocks us from hearing Jesus on this Palm Sunday? Jesus said, "Would that even now you knew the things that would bring you peace." His peace comes from the very things we want to flee. The very sacrifices and priorities that we want to flee. For Jesus, that peace came from following what God wanted him to do. His peace comes to those who take on the uncomfortable way of following the will of God. For Jesus, it included taking on the alienation of the world. Peace? It's not my definition of peace. And once again, Jesus weeps. In seeking the peace that Jesus gives, we have to let go of so much. Look at what he had to let go of on that Palm Sunday. Security, happiness, comfort, well-being, even riches awaited him if he would but claim that throne the people were offering him. If he would just yield to the praises of those hosannas from the crowd. Instead, he had to let go to follow God's will. And he gained ever so much more. Starting now through the horror of Friday and the despair of Saturday, try to follow along with Jesus, scanning your life as you live it. What do I need to let go of in order to be free to follow God's will for me? Perhaps then, even in the midst of a Palm Sunday celebration, we will just begin to know what is needed for peace, everlasting peace, his peace. May you find that peace in the week before you. Amen. And now we're going to sing All Glory, Laud, and Honor, number 280.
Please stand as we sing together.
King.
sit down a second. Craig's going to come up here and share something with you, but while he's coming, I wanted to tell you something funny on me. Last Sunday, if you remember, there was a crow with a stone in his mouth on the bulletin cover. And I kept asking you, where is your pebble? Well, I was in such a giant hurry to get through that sermon because I saw the service was running long that I skipped the metaphor. And it was from Aesop's fable. And what happens is there's this really thirsty crow. He can't find any water anywhere in the desert. And he's flying around and he spies a pitcher. And he flies over to it in great hopes, and he looks in, and there's water in the bottom, and he sticks his head down in there, and he can't reach the water. But he's a smart old crow. So what he started doing is he started picking up pebbles and dropping them in the pitcher, and you know how that works. The pebbles displaced the water raised, and the crow was able to get a drink. So when I ask you, where is your pebble? I'm asking you, what are you dropping in the pot that makes it refreshing for all of us? That was the point of the sermon.
Morning. I have an announcement to make. We've chosen a new pastor. SPRC met yesterday, and we discussed that with Jane Vaughn, deliberated, prayed about it, and decided on Frances Gonzalez. Frances is a pastor. She's a senior pastor, in fact, of a two-point charge in Bond Memorial Church at Clint and also the Fabens United Methodist Church. And this is her third year there. Her leadership has revitalized the Methodist president's presence in that region. She's turned a small, vibrant community and mission center into a really ongoing ministry. Frances is originally from Cuba. She came to Miami when she was 11 years old. She's made El Paso her residence the past 30 years. Her husband passed away 5 years ago. She has 6 grown children, 4 children-in-law, 4 grandchildren, and 1 grandchild on the way. She has been in ministry for the last 14 years in extensive outreach as Director of Congregational Care at St. Mark's United Methodist Church in El Paso. Frances has pastored these two churches with great care and a desire to connect them to their mission fields. She cares for people in her congregations and for people in the community. She's a good preacher that speaks with passion and conviction. She is right to center. Through the mini community center, they have food pantry, support groups, and has developed a mission outpost for VIM groups that come to work in the borderland area of Juarez and El Paso. She's brought different groups that have helped families in the communities by refurbishing their mobile homes. She is the district chair of the Board of Missions. She is full of energy and ready to serve Christ and the world wherever she is sent. So she'll be joining us the last week of June. So let's welcome her with open arms when she gets here. Thank you so very much.
And if you guys really want to know the scoop on her, get to Carol Anderson. Carol's known her for many years and they're good friends. So Carol will tell you about her. And I'll tell you that I personally have met her on a few pastor retreats. And my sense of her is that she's got a deep spirituality, a deep connection with God. And I'm really excited about her interests in finding ways to move outside of the four walls for you, because I know you're ready. You've done a lot of work the last year and a half on getting things taken care of inside the four walls, and now it's time to look out and see those fields that are white unto harvest and see what God has in store for you in service to this community. One thing that is clear is this church has immense influence in this community, and it's going to be exciting for me to hear what it is that you're going to be doing under her leadership. So let us pray for Frances and for our time of transition. Holy God, I come to you now asking for your mercy on all of us. God, prepare this church. Open our hearts and minds, our souls, and give us an anticipation for the new that you're going to bring through the new pastor. Lord, I pray for her transition as she packs and prepares to move, and I pray that she will receive the same kind of warm and generous and loving reception that this church gave me. And now, God, as we go into this week that we have named holy, we also name it as mystery. As we enter into the mystery of those last moments of Jesus on this planet. And God, help us to walk with Jesus so that we experience the enormity of goodness that he did for each one of us. I pray now in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, our closing chorus, Judy.
Page 278, verse 3. Please stand as we sing.